right. Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, September 19th, 2025. It's time for some coastal windage. Here we go again, Crystalline.
Woohoo!
This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. Coastside's very own live call-in talk show, talk radio show. We're back.
We're
from
back.
Summer hiatus.
Back to the future.
Although some of us never left. Some of us did leave. Some of us did not leave. But we're back. We're here. We air every Friday from now until the next summer from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, KHMB, 100.9 FM, rockin' 1710 a.m., streaming live, khmbradio.com. Everybody knows Coastside Issues, Hot Topics, and you and me and Crystalline. And that's us. So let's do this thing. This is, if you can believe it, the premiere episode for season 9999. Amazing. It's a big, big weekend here on the Coastside and everywhere. It's also my brother Ben's 29th birthday. Happy birthday, Brother Ben, for those of you wondering, and I saw your eyebrows go crinkle, crinkle, how an elderly person such as myself could have a 29-year-old sibling. Well, it's mathematically possible. Let's just leave it at that, okay?
But I also have siblings that are 20-plus years younger than me, so it's not that uncommon.
That's what I'm saying. It's mathematically possible. Let's just not get into the details. Also, despite how many tree rings they're going to find when they cut me open, or how many human years my birth certificate might say, I live my life in dog years. So from that perspective, I'm younger than him. So,
oh, that explains a lot. You're like seven.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the same thing that my wife says. I'm a child. Okay. It's a childlike wonder I have, right? Just an innocent, just sunny disposition. Everybody in the every single person in the room is nodding their head no. Okay, I don't know what that's about, but all right, all right. Math and biology lessons over for the day, Crystalline, and I think our work is done here. Oh wait, there's still 58 minutes left in the show. All right, what else? It's my anniversary tomorrow, so there's
Happy
that. Yes, okay, so I'll be 22 years,
woo-hoo!
33 together with Mrs. Truthmaker. 22 as husband and wife, so that's pretty cool. I don't know if she's listening or not. This will be a surprise, but we're going to, I don't know if you've ever been to this place, the Tonga Room in San Francisco. It's at the Fairmont, right? And it's kind of a kitschy scene. It's like a 40s nightclub type of scene, so... I know exactly what you're thinking. Like, yeah, Ruben, that sounds like exactly the kind of thing that you're into.
Do you know who you're talking to? That sounds amazing. Comcast.
I mean, if Comcast could handle my cable situation as well as they handle their robocalls, I would have no complaints. But I guess they spend all their money on robocall systems, and not as much on their actual infrastructure of their
service
delivery. Exactly. Okay, so that was 650-560-9851. You can send an email at coastalwindage@gmail.com. I will admit, I cleaned out the there was a bunch of email from the summer. I had the interns read it, but we're starting fresh, so we have literally for one day only.
Inbox zero?
We have a clean inbox. I know you have no idea what that's like.
Absolutely not. Currently sitting on 546 emails.
Right. And those are unopened emails?
Yes. Those are action items waiting for action that I don't have enough human time to action.
No, that action is delete?
No, I never delete. Never, never, never.
Oh, nice wink. Okay, right. You never delete emails. Me either. Any email that anybody sends me, I totally open it, read it, and consider every word of it. Exactly. What were other topics you said? Oh, okay. Sure. This thing known as the Coastside Summer, and yes, summer...
In quotes.
Yes, summer. A little recap on the Coastal Windage Summer Mic Series. I mean, it was really very cool, and I have a lot to say about that and about what you did this summer on that and also our guest host. And There's a lot of things going on this weekend. One of the big things going on is the ribbon cutting for the new Cunha soccer complex. That's a big deal here on the coast side. That's a big piece of local infrastructure, and it's back online and looking really good. Okay. Again, go ahead and give us a call if you'd like, 650-560-9851. We're back. This is the first episode of season nine of Coastal Windage. All right, let's get to our air quality report. This is the most important data point going these days. We met 46% of U.S. residents. That's 156 million people. I said the math lesson was over, but, you know, this is pre-populated, so I don't have to do any math. 156 million people are living in areas receiving an F grade of air quality.
And that is not F for fantastic.
What kind of air they're breathing and what the quality is, so that you could maybe go someplace else. Like, where would you go? Here? Because this is where we have air quality. 0 to 50 on the scale is good. I mean, incredible. 51 to 100 is pretty good. We're always in the 0 to 50 range, usually in the teens. Today, 22 in El Granada. Again, 22, like, well, we're in the teens of single digits. Yeah, but 22 is amazing. Like, people in Fresno would kill for 22. 22 in El Granada, 24 in Half Moon Bay, 31 in Redwood City, 24 in Santa Cruz. And so when we give the air quality report, we have our local points. And then we always have a kind of random non-local point that listeners of the show will know. It's an Easter egg. We're giving you an Easter egg, which is this place was chosen because it appears somewhere else
in the
episode. And if you're a real fan, go ahead and call in when you hear and you discover where else that point, that place is in the episode. Go ahead and call and let us know. We've got some Coastal Windage bucks we can flow your way. So that's a giveaway we've got this year. Coastal Windage bucks.
Wow. Wait, can I give you a story that will make your heart happy based on air quality?
Sure.
So I was at a meeting this past Monday, and when the group was doing their introductions, somebody mentioned that they had moved to the coastside specifically because of the air quality. With all the fires that had been happening down south, it triggered some allergies that they hadn't had before, and started to create some asthmatic stuff and all of that. And so they had actually sought out and came to the coastside for the good air.
It does not surprise me at all. When I was growing up, I lived out away from the ocean, with oak trees. Oak trees, by the way, have so much pollen. Like, if you have got asthma or something, check and see if there's oak trees around. They'd, like, really cause a lot of that stuff. So, but then when I was 18, I left for college on the coast side in Santa Barbara. Never had another asthma attack after that. So it really, like, the coastal air, the Buenos Aires, you know, the good winds, the good breezes on the coast make a big deal. Emphasized by our random place today is, in fact, Fresno. I mean, I know Fresno and Bakersfield are kind of my
everybody's punching bag.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, it's Bakersfield. So, but Fresno, 88 today in Fresno. That's not the temperature. It probably is the temperature as well, but that's the air quality there. And that's probably a good day in Fresno. Because they got all the agricultural stuff, and it's raising all that dust and stuff in there. Also, they're in a valley and a bowl. Yeah, we're out here on the coast side. Yeah, we got some fog and stuff, but we also got amazing air quality. All right, season 9. Can you believe it?
Yes.
Oh. Well. All right, moving on to the next topic. I had 9 minutes of that. Okay, let's just a bit of a recap here, and I know we do our end of the year recap and our end of the season recap, but this is 332 shows over 9 seasons on the same day of the week at the same time on the same station in the same format with the same intro song for 9 years. That's pretty rare these days that anything has that much consistency, and that's not a rut. That's consistency the Coast Site can count on. They know.
Yeah, anything that lasts over 3 years is a miracle.
All right. So there you have it. We've been canonized. We are a miraculous Coast Site institution. But yeah, consistency the Coast Site can count on. Every Friday morning, they know they can wake up and listen to some live discussion about what's happening here on the Coast Site. So this whole enterprise started way back in 2017. Some of our listeners weren't even born then. Right. I mean,
we're such a hot commodity in the second grade class.
I challenge you to refute that comment with any kind of facts. Okay. So even though we've been around forever, the founding principles of this show remain the same as they have been for every single episode. This show is by, for, and about the Coast Site community. Also, more principles. Only live programming from Main Street with the ability to take real-time phone calls from listeners.
I personally don't enjoy the podcast format. I have never personally chosen and sought out and listened to a podcast. I've been forced to listen to them on road trips from the aforementioned brother Ben, who, I guess 29, is a millennial, loves podcasts, all about podcasts.
Same.
I'm about live radio, scratchy, coming in and out, AM radio, that from weird places because of the atmospheric, you know,
changes
and whatever. Like some nights I'd be laying in my bed and as a kid and get a basketball game from Salt Lake City or some news show from Los Angeles or whatever. It was like you just didn't know what was going to come in, and it was interesting and different and all this interesting thing. So that's why, one of the reasons I don't like the podcast format, which is why Coastal Witch is a completely live show. Live is the real thing. Whatever happens, happens, for better or worse. I mean, worse never happens here, but some places it does. But this is real life. It's really happening. No editing, no revisions, no cuts.
All I'm hearing is you don't have OCD and you're not a control freak.
Oh. Well, that would be news to some people, but I mean, you kind of have to be, it's interesting, you kind of have to be both, I guess, if you're doing something like, well, your job or even doing this show, of like, you have to be detail-oriented and go, 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 otherwise nothing's going to get done. On the other hand, you can't be so rigid that you're not able to roll with the punches, because the punches are coming every second from every direction. There is no stability. There is no consistency. There is nothing you can count on except that you better be flexible and ready to, like, pivot.
True.
And so that's a hard needle to thread, because I know personally, like, yes, I would like to just be able to come in and know, like, everything's going to go perfect. However, I guess that's some of the excitement. We don't know who's going to call. We don't know what little piece of lint's going to get stuck in my throat. I'm going to be coughing. We don't know when you're going to let me know that I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm completely wrong, and I've got my head lodged in a place
where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, where it should not be able to fit. Okay. What else don't we have on this? No AI-generated slop or AI-assisted content that we've created. No recorded spots. Just 1 hour of real content created on the spot by actual human beings. Crystalline, you're real. You're real. And so am I.
And so is the caller.
Oh, well, we don't know that yet. Let's find out.
Is this Comcast?
Comcast, is that you calling? Who have we got on the phone this morning?
Hi, it's Penny Packer calling about your car warranty.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Penny. From you, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Sold.
Penny Packer, oh, so you decided to tune in for the season premiere, huh?
Yeah, I thought I'd give you a petty listen.
Oh, well, thanks. Jeez. Okay. Next, Frank. Swipe left on that digital board over there.
So now she's Petty Packer.
Yeah, you're Petty Packer now.
Oh.
Yeah, you walked into that one. You created this problem. See, this is what I'm saying.
Good
you have
burn.
To be able to pivot. And pit it.
whatever that word
pivot.
Is.
Pivot.
Yeah. Okay. So what's happening in southern Ontario these days?
Not much, but you were talking about radio stations, and I have to remiss, because I believe we're from the same county area, San Diego County, and there was this amazing radio station from L.A. that I could catch even when I was in college in Northern California, KNX 1070. It was the best.
It was the best. It still exists. Well, one of the things,
it does?
Yes, one of the things I loved about KNX has been around since the 30s. So it's this news station in L.A., 24-hour news.
When I was there, it's its inception?
Yes, I was one of the founding janitors there, yes. No, but in college, back in the previous century, twice a day at 9 p.m. and 2 a.m., they would play old-timey radio shows.
Yeah.
Like Lone Ranger or This Is Your FBI or Dragnet.
Nightbeat,
Sergeant Preston. They'd have 2 half-hour episodes back-to-back, and then they would repeat them at 2 a.m. Green Hornet, exactly.
Yes, I do remember those. Those were awesome.
These are great things. If you've never heard a Green Hornet episode on the radio, put one on. Go sit in a dark room. Maybe after drinking all night and you've come home at 2 in the morning, that also helps. With a glass of wine or something, sit in the dark and listen to a half-hour radio drama with all of the Foley sounds and things like that. It's quite an experience, and it's one of the reasons that I personally love radio. It's the magic of radio. It's like reading, where the words are there and somebody's telling you a story, but your mind is the thing creating what this person looks like or what this room feels like or whatever. And it's the same thing with radio. You have to do some of the work. That's all we're asking, is that you join us on this experience. Okay, Penny Packer, anything else?
Nope, just congratulations on 9 seasons, and hope you're feeling better.
I am. Thank you very much for that. We're here. Thank goodness for Crystalline and Frank, the engineer. Of course, they and the intern. Well, I mean, the interns. So.
No, they took the summer off.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really hear much going on in the background there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so Crystalline and Frank do most of the heavy lifting, but I appreciate that. Thanks for listening, being such a loyal fan all these years. Really appreciate it.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, Petty.
Yeah, she asked for it. I mean, we don't step out into that, but if people ask for it, okay. Anyways, the commitment to being here on Main Street, I think, is also important. We're not just anywhere with a mic and an internet connection. We're here, in the beating heart of the Coast Side every Friday morning, rain or shine, come hellfire or high water. And we've had both. We've literally had both here over the 8 years or 9 years now we've been on this show.
Okay, because we might find that hellfire is one of my limits.
Really?
I might not show up for hellfire.
I mean, it gets exciting, right? I mean, we've had hellfire here with the SCZ fires or whatever CZS. So, 3 letters. They have an S, a C, and a Z in there, and maybe an M, too, something like that. The fire's down at, Piran, down by Piran.
Yeah.
So we've had the hellfire, we've had the high water, we've had a couple of tsunami threats.
Scares.
Over the years, but okay.
Which I got to go to a tsunami tabletop training thanks to the county and our local David Cosgrave, and it was cool.
Wait, tabletop training, does that mean that if a tsunami comes, you get on top of the tables? Is that the training?
Yes.
Is that our emergency response?
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, it was this cool thing that they did at Oceano where they brought all of the different agencies that would play a part when tsunamis are coming, and then they put together this whole very, very thorough scenario and then talked it through, and then our agencies, we would break apart into the major groups and then talk through who would do what and why, and then it helped to help them identify holes, and it was very cool. It was very well done.
I'm just going to say, in any of that training, was there any discussion of what is the percentage possibility or danger
mm-hmm.
that any kind of tsunami will come here and do any
damage?
Kind of
yep.
actual damage
yep. that was actually a big part of it.
So what is the percentage chance? What are we looking at here? I mean...
It would... Well, honestly, I don't really recall what it was, but the... But they kind of explained that, like, an earthquake would have to be so big in such a shallow, you know, spot and in a certain direction. Like, it would have to come from a country that's, like, a very, very certain direction to actually create waves large enough. They showed us how we can look up what the waves are doing in any moment so that we can adjust ourselves. And then we're working on communication communication plans that are more descriptive and more widespread, and how to communicate with people that do not have possibly SMC alert. How do we communicate to the visitors and this and that? It was very cool.
Okay, I mean, I appreciate that people are thinking about it. I just don't ever see. I'm not going to spend one literally.
Well,
I'm not advocating people take this position,
but it's transferable. Right, so our exercise was about tsunami, but whether it was just the aftermath of an earthquake or a fire or whatever, all of like the communication styles and like things like that, that's all gonna transfer. So although the topic was tsunami because it was top of mind, but the lessons learned were ones that can be applied to the others.
I mean, I appreciate that people are working on it, but as they say in war and football, you've got a plan until the first bullet's fired, and then it's all chaos from there. So we've got a plan, but the fact that my electricity goes out multiple times a year for no reason whatsoever gives me no confidence in any kind of digital-based, cloud-based system of which everything is now. So, okay. But, I appreciate that people are thinking about it. And let's hope that we never have to deal with that. But last thing on the radio. Local radio has been the fabric of small towns for over 100 years now, since radio kind of was invented and came into popular being. And I feel... It's been a thing in my life since I was a small kid, and I'm just very proud to be part of this community legacy and to share that with the community and also with the co-hosts I've had on the show, including yourself. I just feel like somehow the success of this show is because of the great that have been on it. Yeah. Okay, all episodes of Coastal Windage available on the KHNB website, along with all the other KHNB shows, if you haven't heard them. Our shows are, I think they're listed as podcasts. They are not podcasts. Coastal Windage is not a podcast. These are recordings of live shows. That's a big difference. A podcast is a structured, edited recording done at a, you know, with editing and whenever. From wherever, this is live radio here on the Coastside. Once again, this season, we are generously sponsored by Cameron's Pub and Restaurant. Cameron has always been a big supporter of the show, calls in occasionally, love to hear from him, and really appreciate his support for the show. All right, listeners, call in. Let's get the season started. What's on your mind? Bring it. Who would you like to hear as a guest on Coastal Windage in 2025? We got some people in mind. I mean, that's one of the challenges of 9 years of like, okay, you know, there's people we want to hear from, you know, from time to time, continuously. But part of having a guest on is finding people in the community that maybe, you know, that are unsung people, unsung members of the community, and getting them on the show and hearing what they do and their perspective. So if you've got some ideas, go ahead and give us a call. All right, we're almost ready for our break, but let's just catch up on the last 3 months. I decompressed all summer. I did the usual celebrity.
I mean, it is kind of smelly in here, and I wasn't going to say anything, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yes, the gangrenous splotches on my face. Thank you for being so polite not to say anything. I did the usual celebrity stuff, right? A ribbon cutting for a new dry cleaning store in Los Baños. That was very you know, highfalutin. Grand marshal for a hoo-ha parade in Brawley. If you've never been to Brawley, you're missing out on life. I pressed a fingernail clipping and a lock of beard hair in the Ferndale Walk of the Mundane up in Humboldt County. I don't know if you know the town of Ferndale up there. It's been in a few movies. They've got this little walk of mundane. They gave me a spot between some fur from Patsy the Capuchin Monkey from the movie Outbreak and David Spade's mullet wig from the movie Joe Dirt. So that was a special spot. I mean, there I am between those two.
Iconic.
Yes, exactly. Just the titans of the Hollywood movie industry right there. I did some motivational speaking at various breweries and tanning salons up in Modoc County. I love Modoc County. I'd love to move there. The tanning salon industry is blowing up in Modoc County, let me tell you. And they like to hear what I had to say. So, yeah, anytime you need a motivational speaker, you know, that's all I do is just pump people up, right? So it's all positive all the time, right, Frank? Frank is signaling me with... Oh, never mind. That wasn't a signal. Okay. I traveled with my family to Switzerland, Italy, and Greece, which was amazing. I continued my rehab from the devastating bicycle accident I had back in February. I'm riding a bike again in case people are interested. I'm riding a mountain bike, but I don't have the courage yet. And I will admit it, I'm afraid. I don't have the courage to get back on a skinny-wheeled road bike with the aggressive forward positioning. I'm afraid to get back on the bike. So someday, but not yet. No golfing, no softball, no pull-ups. Oh, well, we've got about 30 seconds before our commercial break, so let's do this old joke as performed by the Coastal Windage Players. Do we have some music for the Coastal Windage Players, Frank? Some little dreamy harp music or something? No. Okay, here we go. Coastal Windage Players. Crystalline, I hope I can play the piano after my accident.
Oh, I didn't know you played the piano.
I don't. And that's where Frank would have his rim shot. Thank you. Take a bow, Crystalline. Right.
I don't even know if that qualifies as a dad joke.
No, that is a classic joke. That's like the how do you get to Carnegie Hall joke. Practice, practice, practice. That's like a 1930s dad joke. Okay, Frank is really annoyed with that joke that he didn't, I guess he agrees with you, he also didn't think was a joke. And so on that note, we will go to our commercial break. We'll be right back.
This is Community Radio for the Coastside.
100.9 KHMB. Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Moore and Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
All right, and we're back, and this is where we get into the speed part of the show because the opening banter segment, which is slotted for about 3 minutes, took 29 minutes. So then the rest of the show has to be crammed into our remaining 29 minutes. Stuff that I missed here on the Coastside, because I was off in my various vacation homes and exotic countries and whatever, tanning salons. The 4th of July parade, that's always fun. The Harbor District is proposing a parking lot in El Granada, not at the harbor. The Seton Coastside tree massacre. The Sam lawsuit is resolved. I'm putting that also in air quotes because I believe it, I guess, when I see it. Harbor dredging and Surfers Beach sand replenishment has begun. And other things, and we have a whole season to get around to these topics, and we will. and we'll get to something that you did this summer in just a minute, but what did you do outside of this studio? What did you do this summer, Crystalline?
Is there anything other than work?
Oh.
I did go to two concerts.
Okay, see, this is what I'm talking about. What two are these bands that I will have ever heard of?
Yes. So last Sunday we went to Billy Idol.
He's still alive?
Yes.
Wow.
Still
okay.
Rocking it. We went to Billy Idol in
where was that? Shoreline?
The Greek Theater in Berkeley, which I learned very much triggered my fear of heights. So the army crawl that I had to do to get out of our seats was quite a sight for people. And then the concert was started off by Joan Jett, so she's also very fun.
Wow.
And then we went to a concert 3 weeks ago at Shoreline that was 90s alternative band, so it was like Jimmy Eat World, and I keep wanting to call them Outkast, which is not the right word, but one of those bands from the 90s that if you heard the music, you would know all the songs.
Okay.
As a 90s kid, you would know all the songs.
Right. Well, I wish I was a 90s kid. I would be much younger than I am. I'm more of a 70s kid, but okay. Yeah, that's, I mean, Shoreline, I've seen a few Dead shows there, and I mean, it's all right. It's a good venue.
Yeah, I liked it.
One thing I've seen, if you've been to a show there, that's a really fun venue that actually has had a lot of big bands playing there. This seems like this year, the Mountain Winery. Was it Los Gatos, maybe, or somewhere down there? That's a pretty fun place to go. It's up on the hill. We've seen some comedians there, a couple concerts there. That's a fun place to go. So concerts.
Well, yeah, I have to give all the credit to fantastic fiance Jesse, who because I would never opt to go. Like, it just wouldn't dawn on me to go to concerts. That's just, I love music, but that's just not my jam. But for him, he's got this whole list of concerts that he wants to go to. So when the tickets come available, so I just get to go along for the ride and just have a lot of fun.
Nice. Ever since my music went digital, and I don't mean CDs, I mean like MP3s. It hasn't really been a part of my life. I'm not doing this over again, and I want control. I want to actually hold my music. I mean, people, side rant here for just a second. Yes, the cloud provides for amazing ability to get to content from non-specific specific location agnostic, right, the cloud. But you are no longer in control of your information. You are no longer in control who has access to it or even your own access to it because it's easily cut off from you. So all of your photos, all of your documents, all of the stuff that you're stashing up in the cloud, you know, when the overlords decide that you're not paying enough or they don't want to give you your photos, you don't got no photos no more. There's no more photo albums in the cupboards in the garage that you can go and look at anymore. If you don't have electricity or internet connection, you ain't got no photos. So,
no, I know plenty of people who actually still do photo albums.
Well, I know you were a Photomat girl, but there's not that many places to get actual photos done anymore. And even that is you have to go online through Shutterfly or something, so.
But they're still getting them done.
I don't think there's that many people doing it. But, okay, so what you spent a lot of time doing this summer was the second annual Coastal Windows Summer and Mike series, which I personally listened to every single episode, including one from a rooftop restaurant in Rome and another from a seaside cafe on the southern coast of Crete. That is the global reach of KHMB and Coastal Windage. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
You had some amazing guests.
Well, we should acknowledge you're the one that got all of the guests lined up. I just got to ride along and be their co-pilots.
Well, I mean, you and they did an amazing job, and we had 14 different co-hosts with some veterans like Aisha Barrow, Melinda McNaughton, Livy Streetwise, Brad Larson, and Michelle Dragony. Then we had some guests who turned into hosts like David Oliphant, Paul Nagengast, Marika Holmgren, Mark Newton, and Ranger Kelak. And then we had some total newbies like Beverly Garrity, Laura Masco, Sandra Sarabia, and Jane Praisilver. So, but the, of course, the two biggest stars were you, Crystalyn, and Frank the Engineer. But I just really enjoyed doing it and listening to this. It's hard to do an entire radio show. It sounds easier than it is. And most people have it on their bucket list that they'd like to do a radio show, but they aren't interested in making it a regular thing. And some haven't even thought out like what a full 60-minute radio show is. I tell people you need to prepare like 90 to 120 minutes of content for a one-hour show, because as you're going through, you're just like, no, why did I? No, that's dumb. Like, we're skipping that. Or you, again, like we were talking, you have to be able to pivot, right? So you've got to have contingencies. But the Summer Mic Series is a perfect opportunity for Coastside folks to give the mic a try and for the rest of the Coastside to hear different perspectives and different voices. I personally loved it. I thought you guys did an amazing job.
Thank you.
And I'm really thankful to all of those people I just mentioned. And we've got a phone call. Who's on the phone this morning?
Hey, it's T-Bone.
Wow, we've got our regular, like,
they
number one
back.
Fans. Yes, T-Bone. Still listening after all these years. T-Bone, what's up, T-Bone?
Hey, I just wanted to call and say I'm so excited to hear your voice back on Coastal Windage.
Okay, I guess I'll believe that. I mean, I know everybody loves Crystalline, and why not? But,
I don't take it personal. I think it's great.
It's
I was very excited for today.
It's fun to be back. It's great working with Crystalline and Frank. The interns are a salty crew this year. Every year we get new interns. I don't know if you're aware of this, T-Bone. We get new interns. That's a lot of work. And
well, I do know that because I applied and got turned down.
I'm very disappointed. Did you use the name T-Bone? I mean, if you had, we would have been like, oh, T-Bone. But
is that one of the emails that you deleted?
I didn't know. I used my real name.
Oh, and I think Crystalyn nailed it there, too. See, I kind of cleaned out the cache of emails.
Oh.
Yeah, I like to start fresh, but, well, all right.
For next year.
Yeah, next summer. Get them in before I go on the summer break.
Okay.
And you realize this is an unpaid position.
Right, okay. Realize.
That's important to understand.
apparently there's Coastal Windage bucks.
that's only for listeners, you know, like, it's not for interns. It's like any promotional giveaway, employees not eligible.
Okay.
Not eligible for the Coastal Windage
bucks. That sounds like a workforce development problem.
I mean, let's not get HR involved, although I see the director of HR for some reason is here this morning. Not sure why, but there he is. Okay. Anything else, T-Bone?
No, that was it. I mean, I, too, enjoyed the summer series for sure, but it was just so nice to tune in today and hear your voice.
Oh, well, that's very sweet of you to say. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening, T-Bone. Keep on calling.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Frank is quick on the trigger finger today. Okay, so this thing that they call the Coastside Summer. Yeah, that was a big sigh because, yeesh, it was pretty drab here this calendar summer. Okay, there's two. Let's make a distinction. There's calendar summer. And then there's our de facto practical Coastside Summer, of which we're in right now. Which
is coming up, yeah.
Yeah, here on the Coastside, our summers, our Coastside Summer runs from like Labor Day to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And what we have during that two-month window, beautiful sunsets, like pretty amazing sunsets out over Pillar Point. Warm weather, you know, as warm as the Coastside gets. Minimal wind. And actual sunny days, which is pretty much in direct contrast to the calendar summer here from about May to Labor Day, which is what we used to call down in San Diego County growing up, the June gloom. Just, I didn't have to, I mean, waking up in the morning with the perpetually asking Mrs. Truthmaker, did it rain last night? No. Just the fog, just Carl, wetting all over us all summer. One of the things I have not enjoyed about my 20-plus years living here on the coastside is the calendar year summers. I like heat. This is my dream scenario, okay? In case you are wondering, I know you're taking the, you have about 50 of my dream scenarios written down. For some reason, that's weird in itself, but okay. I appreciate that. Documenting.
I'm detail-oriented and studious.
Documenting my dream scenarios. That's, again, a bit weird, but I'll take it. My dream, one of my dream scenarios, sitting outside on my patio at 10 p.m. in shorts and a t-shirt, drinking a cold drink with a sheen of perspiration on my brow. That's a dream scenario that does not happen. Literally does not happen one single day out of the year. Not one day out of the year here on the coastside.
I will say the thing about this summer that felt different and not so great was the mugginess. That was taking us down at the office. Like, it was just like this wet, hot fog. I don't know. I don't even know, like, what, like, circumstance of things happening in the sky makes that work, but the mugginess was just unbearable.
So you're saying you're not going to be moving to, like, eastern or western Virginia anytime soon?
No. 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 Mm-mm. Absolutely not. Or, but even potentially Hawaii, because I've heard that that is similar. Like, wet, hot is gnarly.
Yeah. I mean, they say, right, for Phoenix, it's a dry heat. And it is. And I do like a dry heat. But there's dry heat, and then there's bake oven. Phoenix
yeah.
is like, let's,
yeah. I don't
you know,
wanna,
let's not even talk about that. It's too much.
No, but the mugginess felt different than summers past.
So speaking of the summer weather, I want to ask you, how did this impact the coastside tourism economy? I know you had have made some presentations on your Boots on the Beach survey
mm-hmm.
and visitor spending data. How did the summer? How does the summer affect that? And how did it specifically affect it this summer?
So it's actually good for the tourism because, you know, we so the this was the first time the Coastside has had a really in-depth survey done, and really what we're trying to do is understand our visitors, and we've been doing a lot of things based off of anecdotal, you know, thinkings of visitors and why they come here and what they're doing when they're here. So we were trying to, you know, confirm or deny that. And one of the things that has always been anecdotal is that we are a great place for people from Sacramento or Fresno or coming in from those hotter places. So for us being foggy and soft in, that's actually good because we're getting and our initial, you know, kind of gleaning over the data, we got over 1,300 in-person surveys over the course of 6 weeks. And shout out to the locals who helped us with that. And so we're still combing through the data, but basically it's confirming that, you know, when it's hot inland, they are coming here to cool off, and that's very good for us. And then September to October, you know, very much you know, helped by things like the Pumpkin Festival, which, you know, makes wonderful activities during those times. But then it's almost the opposite. Like, it starts getting colder elsewhere where we start warming up a little bit, and so then they start fleeing from their homes to here. So it actually works in our favor that our weather is the opposite of the rest.
I mean, do they know what they're getting into when they come from Fresno or Merced or something here? Because
no, we need more, like, the shops that sell sweatshirts, like,
this is, yeah.
I am always surprised, because when I worked in Carmel, there was at least one sweatshirt shop on every block. And we have a couple. I mean, they're starting to pop up more and more. And
we'll have a guest next
yes,
week.
Yes, Carlos.
Acosta.
So excited.
Yes, who started his own company.
But that is a not quite as fully tapped market, in my opinion, here, because we often hear people who have come to escape the heat, and they just don't quite realize how much of heat escaping they are doing. and they come with their t-shirts and their light, you know, pullovers, and what you need is a full-on sweatshirt or jacket.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing. I used to live in Flagstaff, Arizona, which is north of Phoenix, and it's at 7,200 feet because it's up in the mountains. There's a little patch of mountains there. People hear, oh, you lived in Arizona, it's hot. No, radio legend Jay Michaels has a vacation home, or one of his mansions is in Arizona. He lives in the hot part. Flagstaff is cool. Maybe an 80-degree day in the summertime would be super hot, but it gets sunny, and it's, you know, it's nice up there. People from Phoenix would be fleeing 120 and come up there to sunny and warm Flagstaff. But here you've got people coming from, you know, 100-degree, 100-level air quality Merced, and I just always kind of have a smirk on my face when they're coming over in their convertible with the top down, with their tank top and shorts and flip-flops, no sweatshirt, no pullover, and they hit the top of the hill, and the temperature's now 56, and they're soaking wet with fog, and there's a chill breeze blowing. Like, that's not the cooling off that they're looking for. They're looking for, like, 70s. They're looking for Santa Cruz. 70s, warm, sunny, well, just not baking hot.
But I will say, we don't hear anybody complaining about it. So it's like they
really
do like it.
Really?
Yeah.
They like coming over, and it's foggy, and they have to have their windshield wipers on?
Yes, because I think it's an unexpected experience.
Man, people.
Well, and many of them, it's not their first time here. So it's not like every single visitor that comes here, this was their first foray into the coastline.
I mean, the amount of slop on the internet, there's like a whole thing about just videos of watching people eat their lunch at their desk. That's like a thing now, like a whole millions of people are looking at videos of people just eating their lunch at their desk. I would love to have a camera at the top of the hill of just the expression on people's faces as they have come from the bottom of the hill on the other side where it's hot and sunny, and now they're at the top of the hill, freezing, soaking wet because their convertible top is down, with this puzzled and like scared look on their face of like, wait, what? I didn't bring a jacket. It's freezing here. Like, I thought this was just going to be, you know, I thought it was summertime. Nope. I don't know if they love it. I find that hard to believe.
Many of them like it.
Okay. Well, you did the survey, so I guess we're trying to be a fact-based society. So, okay.
By the end of the year, we will have combed through all of that data plus some other data that we were able to get, like the spending data, and we will be publishing a report noting all of the findings.
Okay, well, we look forward to that news because, you know, we're a tourist-based economy. We've talked about total occupancy and things like that.
Yes, which came in higher. I will note that at the Tuesday City Council meeting, Half Moon Bay reported that TOT, the transient occupancy tax, which is paid for by the visitor through the hotels, was about $1 million more than projected. So that was a very nice surprise.
I mean, okay, that's good. But TOT is blows with the wind, and
yes,
it's not something you can rely on to be the same every year.
1,000%.
That said, we have at least three new hotel proposals that are already been proposed or being considered. The Hyatt, right,
mm-hmm,
which is still in play. Aaron's Beach Inn between Sam's Chowder House and the Beach House Hotel across the highway from El Granada. And I read there's a proposal for a resort at the end of Frenchman's Creek Road,
mm-hmm,
which is in the Half Moon Bay city limits, as is Aaron's Beach Inn, even though it's right across the highway from El Granada. We'll discuss that at a future episode. So there's more hotels coming. So we're doubling down on this is just going to be a tourist-based economy, and we're going to live and die with that.
Unfortunately, the locals, there's not enough locals to spend enough money here to keep everything afloat.
Hmm. Okay, and we've got another phone call. Wow, we're racking them up this morning. Who have we got on the phone this morning?
Oh, hi, it's Cameron down at the pub.
How Cameron, all right. Hey, how's it going? Cameron, thank you for, once again, generously sponsoring our show.
And for being an awesome tourist attraction and hotel.
I thought you were calling me a tourist for a minute there, Kristen.
Yeah,
tourist attraction.
Cameron, I don't know if you've earned your, you know, locals pin yet, so.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to tag team what Crystal Lynn was saying about the $1 million extra that's been brought in with POT. I think that's fantastic. That tells me we're coming out of the COVID years and people are rediscovering the coast side. I just want to encourage our city. A lot of that money that we're getting in, let's reinvest some of it so that we can get more people to spend the night down here. Mm-hmm. The more we do that, the more nights, the more people that come book a room. It's just great for the entire economy down here. That's my 2 cents worth.
Yes, and we should also note that the visitors that spend the night, those are the ones that we want. Those are the ones that are not creating the massive congestion on the road. They're here for a couple of days. They're spending the most amount of money. We are not seeking the day trippers who just go to the beach. And we are working on strategies, and Cameron and I are on a committee trying to noodle out all of these ideas and get these projects pushed forward of getting the people who are coming to the beach and that their only plan is to stay at the beach and then leave, how to get them to go spend money downtown, go spend money in the harbor and in our little commercial district. So we are working, even though things are looking a bit sunnier disposition now than they were even just 6 months ago or a year ago, we are not stopping and we are not resting on our laurels. We are working that much harder to make sure that it's a continued success for everybody. And again, the tourists that we want to have, not necessarily honing in on the ones that are a pain in the Watusie.
I agree. And, you know, a lot of people are, oh, more tourists, more traffic. That's not necessarily true. I've noticed a lot of people that go stay at Oceana or the harbor, they'll park their car and not get back in it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they? They're staying there. There's shops. There's restaurants. There's the beach. And we're noticing that here with my hotel down here, too. People are parking their car and not leaving until they leave. They can come eat here. They can walk to the beach. They can walk to Main Street. We have, you know, bike paths now. So I'm sensing a trend, a new trend. People are just really happy once they're here to just settle in.
The number one question we get at the visitor center is about the Coastal Trail. And people come here knowing about it, which is very cool. Like, they are specifically asking about it.
Yes,
and
yes.
How to maneuver it from whichever hotel they're staying at.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they're, you know, I know on Wavecrest they're making some improvements, and, you know, it's been a long, slow process, but at least there's things moving, it's happening, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep up the good work, you guys, nice to talk with you.
Thank you, Cameron, thanks
for
the call.
Cameron.
Okay, we've got a couple minutes left. Let me get to a big event that's happening tomorrow. This is huge. The Acuna Soccer Complex is having its ribbon cutting tomorrow. It had the entire turf field replaced. I'm not sure there's any public facility on the coast side that gets more use and is more beloved than the Acuna Soccer Complex. So the Boys and Girls Club of the Coast Side and the Cabrillo Unified School District partnered to replace the turf, those two organizations, and make other upgrades at the complex to improve the safety and ensure their continued availability. Come and check out the ribbon cutting 10 a.m. tomorrow at the Cunha Fields at 600 Church Street. There'll be speakers from CUSD and BGCC. Superintendent Miramontes, I think, will be there. Executive Director Mark Newton from the Boys and Girls Club. Some refreshments, probably some soccer games. And this iteration of the artificial turf field at Cunha is cutting edge. This isn't your Truthmaker's old artificial turf.
Are you saying that you like the fact that they use technology to make something better?
I have never been against technology. I've been against technology that is just for the sake of nothing, just to have a new version of something. Again, we don't...
Is this not a new version of grass?
It's a better version of grass,
okay.
Yes. But we don't need another messaging platform, okay? We don't need another social media platform, another inter-office B2B messaging system. We don't need any of that.
So I feel like a new tattoo is coming for you. Tech
can be okay.
I mean, I do. The wheel is great. Movable type.
Fire was awesome.
Yes, yes. So, you know, technology has its place. But we're no longer creating things to solve problems. We're creating things to make money. That is the only thing. So if stuff is flooded with just junk. Junk. Okay. But this turf, it's high tech. It's high tech, semi-organic. Only a few fields in California have this technology, including Bulldog Stadium at Fresno State University.
Oh, there we go. There it is.
Okay. This project cost $3 million. The costs were split between BGCC and the Cabrillo Unified School District. School district funds provided by bond measures approved by voters. Boys and Girls Club funds were donated specifically for this project and for the renovation of the baseball field at the high school by one generous Coastside family. No operational funds or other donation monies were used by the Boys and Girls Club for this project. 173,460 square feet. That's $17.30 per square foot if you're keeping score at home. I don't know how that relates to what the square footage cost for a house would be. Seems at one side expensive, on the other side cheap. I don't know. Here's what got done. Main soccer field turf replaced. Asphalt at the north and south ends of the field have been replaced with turf to add additional training areas. The soccer cage turf was replaced, and the field was striped for multiple soccer fields, and markings replaced for flag football as well.
Well, how, oh, flag football.
Yes. And how was this high-tech? This is a hybrid organic turf system, USDA certified, the only turf system in the industry to achieve this standard.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Bio ingredients include soy, and the infill component is a hybrid-based, bio-based cork product. The infill is held in place by a root zone thatch, which provides for enhanced footing traction and dimensional stability to the turf.
You're about to get the gong.
I'm just saying.
Tomorrow at 10.
This is an incredible thing for this facility. Come and check it out tomorrow. Coastal Cleanup Day tomorrow, 9 to 12. 12th Annual Montero Art and Music Festival, Sunday, 11 to 4 in Montero, 5th Street between Lacan and East. Also Sunday at the Harbor, the CEF, Cabrillo Education Foundation, annual cornhole tournament from 10 to 4. Next week, Carlos Alcantar Acosta, founder of Foggy Clothing, joins us to promote his brand and new storefront. I guess that's it for the day. It goes fast, Crystal, but guess what? We've got 40 or 50 more episodes to do this year, so we'll be back.
Season 9.
Okay, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week for Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.